This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. As mass shootings in America become more frequent, some continue to raise the question, should more people be armed? On the topic of school shootings in particular, Donald Trump suggests that we should arm teachers. An informal poll sent out to the state's teachers by State Superintendent Mark Johnson revealed that half of the respondents did not want other teachers or administrators having access to a gun. But what about trained law enforcement? What if there was a provision in state law that allowed volunteers to police our schools? Well, there is. And joining us now to talk about a plan to combat school shootings is Sheriff Sam Page of Rockingham County. Sheriff Page, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Tell us more about this plan you have.
Well, you know, I have to start back in 2013, following the Sandy Hook shooting in Connecticut. The North Carolina General Assembly presented a bill and it was passed, and it would allow for a sheriff or a chief to establish a volunteer school resource officer program that was derived from former law enforcement officers with at least 2 years' experience or former military police with at least 2 years' experience and an honorable discharge and some training requirements.
What are those training requirements?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. The bill was enacted in 2013, but we didn't really hear a lot about it until recent. And I pulled this back up and I said, let's look at it. And there was a training requirement that was not set out, but it basically said that certain standards could be set by the sheriff or the chief under the statute, but there are also some standards that have to be met by North Carolina Trainings and Standards and sheriff standards. And I'm working with the Justice Academy right now to establish some basic criteria so it meets that standard. Pretty much, to me, it sounds like basically getting information from the school resource officer program that they teach down at Edneyville and also at Salemburg to basically teach law enforcement how to interact and work with kids and in a school setting. And so, again, once that's set, then we can look at the firearms qualification, the basic education qualifications, and then the vetting that we do when we hire officers anyway in our organization.
Well, therein lies an important question, because when you hire an officer, of course, they're on the staff, they're subject to protocols, discipline, and accountability to your department. These would be volunteers. What about the accountability question? To whom are they accountable?
They are directly accountable to the sheriff or the chief of police or their designee that would supervise the volunteer program. So they are accountable. There are some protections built in on liability. There are some protections against certain liabilities as long as that person is operating and following the protocol or the law set out. There are certain protections that are built in the law. So, again, it's underdeveloped right now as far as the education piece. But once that's set, there are some firearms qualifications. A person has to pass a physical. And then, of course, you know, every agency would vet anybody before they would bring them on, even in the volunteer program. And that can be set by the individual agency.
Yeah, now talk about this liability question, because as I understand it, there is a kind of waiver of liability for the individual if something goes wrong under the statute, a kind of a Good Samaritan thing if you're acting. This happens for physicians, for instance.
Yes, sir. Basically, there's protection for the agency. There's a protection for the individual. It's protection for the school system if the person is operating under the rules set out in the statute.
Okay. So now let's talk about some of the research behind. Well, let's talk about the volunteer nature of it. Why volunteers? Why not more trained officers would be sent in the schools?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. I did a news conference last week. I don't know if you saw that on the Rockingham update. But basically, I said, you know, this is just one option to look at to try to plug in and get additional support in our schools for school safety. Just one. The best case scenario is full-time trained school resource officers trained as SROs working in the schools on a full-time basis that are armed. That's the best case scenario. This is another option that we can look at to try to assist those officers. And also, we need support. Now, I'll tell you this, not just having armed officers, but we also need to have our counselors and our psychologists support for our kids also. My understanding is some of the schools across, you know, we've got, 110 school districts across the state. And my understanding is that there's been a reduction over the years in counselors and psychologists, and that's where we need support too, to detect problems before a kid gets into a situation or a child does something that's violent or moving in that direction. We want to try to identify, intervene, and try to help that young person.
You said that the best solution would be armed and trained SRO
full-time
officers.
Full-time.
full-time SRO. Yes. I wonder what we know about the research on that. Do we know that that's been a good solution? Has it been effective in the schools?
Well, I don't know about research. I can tell you that I'm a former school resource officer. I can tell you that I've got six of my former students that are now deputies that work for me. So I feel like you have the opportunity to be a role model, and I'm very proud of that. But I'll say this is, I think in Rockingham County that our school resource officer program works very well.
We've looked at some of the research, and the program hasn't been around for very long. What there is has been inconclusive. But here's one of the interesting things we found in looking into the research on the effectiveness mm-hmm. of SROs. That right now, less than 40% of SROs receive advanced training. So it's kind of interesting. They all have to go through the training. But the advanced training gets them to understand disabilities, how to deal with children who might have right. mental or physical disabilities, and also deal with crisis situations. And we've got about 40% of our officers who haven't taken that. And that seems to me what we're trying to address here, being able to distinguish between a mental disturbance and a real shooter, and then what to do in those advanced cases. Should we expect greater training, a higher level of basic training for our SROs?
I think you make an excellent point there. In North Carolina, of course, you know, we work in conjunction with NAMI, National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. We participate in a program called Crisis Intervention Training. It's about a 40-hour course. And our road officers and our SROs and our other officers that may be in a situation where they interact with the public, may get involved in an arrest situation, we want to make sure that they also have training in crisis intervention training, so to learn de-escalation techniques. So we are training. That's kind of ongoing, speaking for my agency, and a lot of agencies in our county are participating in the crisis intervention training. So that's ongoing. My understanding, there's also a level two or phase two school resource officer training program that is available. Now, all of my school resource officers attend their annual training and updates through the conferences every year. When they're on the school break and they have the annual conference, they participate in those training conferences. So I think that my recommendation, I think what you brought up, was we need to make sure that all of our school resource officers in North Carolina are trained in crisis intervention training and learning the de-escalation techniques. Also, we need to make sure that they receive upgrade training, particularly not only at the conferences, but also if there's a level two training at the Justice Academy, they need to participate in that training so they meet that standard.
And these officers, now we're talking about in the volunteer program, they would be authorized to make arrests. Is that right?
While they're conducting their official duties, they would have the authority to make arrests. But also, the way I read from the law is the chief of police, sheriff, or their designee can establish criteria and pretty much their operations, what they expect of them.
I was wondering about that because I know there's a big concern, particularly in minority populations or underserved populations, that the presence of law enforcement means that we're seeing more, and this is, again, some of the research, we're seeing more young people channeled into the criminal justice system for offenses that otherwise would have been punished but not, you know, effectively costing them their lives because now they've got a criminal record. And I wonder if this is a concern that the criminalization of some of the behavior we see is leading to, ruined lives, particularly, and we hear this among minority populations and underserved, that they're finding themselves in a pipeline that shortens their possibilities later on.
I'm familiar with what you're talking about. I've been in law enforcement work for more than 30-plus years. I'm familiar with what you're talking about, but you know we train every year. We've had training in juvenile minority sensitivity training. We have different levels of in-service training that we're involved in every year. But the thing is I think part of the school resource officer training also takes into account what you're talking about is being aware of the different populations you're working with, because you know the resource officer, they're there for really three purposes. They're there as a law enforcement presence, but they're also there as a mentor, a role model. They're also there as an educator, a law-related education, and also to include as a resource for the children, for the teachers, and for the administration. So we're there to build trust for those kids. And if you look at some of the research that's come out on these active shooting situations, a lot of times the kids are communicating their threats to other children before an event occurs. So if you have the trust of the children working with the kids and you have that communication back and forth, a lot of times you can head off problems before it becomes a serious problem.
Sheriff Page, what kind of response have you gotten to this proposal?
Well, I got to tell you, When I brought this out last week, I've talked to my chiefs of police the week before, and I brought this out. There are not a lot of law enforcement agents in the state or sheriffs or chiefs that are talking about this. And what I said was, we've had another shooting. What else can we do that we're not already doing? What can we reflect on that we can do better? And I said, there's a law here that we could bring some vetted, trained former law enforcement officers back into assisting us as an additional support protecting our schools. We've got to do something. And I think it's important that our children, our future, we've got to protect them. If we can provide law enforcement protection for sporting events, professional sporting events, celebrities, and you name it out there, why can't we protect a soft area, which is our schools?
Sure.
An obvious area where persons have victimized many times over the years. Let's do something better. Let's do something. But doing nothing is unacceptable.
Sheriff Page, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, and we appreciate it.
Sheriff Sam Page of Rockingham County. You can check out our website for a link to the full press conference and the announcement about the proposal. Just ahead, we'll talk about how journalists are reporting on white supremacist groups and how they could do better. We'll talk about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.